What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Self-Helpless Podcast. I'm Delaney Fisher.
I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
And I'm Kelsey Cook.
Kelsey could not make the intro, but she is in the meat of the episode, if you will. We have such an awesome guest today. We have Ravi Patel. He is an actor, documentarian, comedian, philanthropist. He's best known for his romantic comedy documentary, Meet the Patels, in which he co-directed with his sister. And as an actor, he's appeared in Transformers, Netflix's Master of None, South by Southwest comedy Come As You Are, and Seth Rogen's Long Shot. And he has a four-part docuseries called Ravi Patel's Pursuit of Happiness. It aired on HBO Max on August 27th, and it dives into retirement, family, aging, parenting, gender roles, work-life balance, and the immigration crisis, all while traveling to many parts of the world, including Japan, Korea, Denmark, and Mexico. It is so well done. What an excellent show. This was such an awesome interview. I really enjoyed talking with him. He shared so much about his family, his marriage, like boundaries with family, all kinds of good stuff. So without further ado, here is Ravi Patel. All right, everybody, please welcome our wonderful guest, Ravi Patel. Yay. Give it up. Yes.
Yay. It's nice to meet y'all.
Nice to meet you too.
Nice to have you here. Thanks for
doing
this.
Are all of you in your places in LA?
Yes.
Are yes. Yeah, where are you?
Where are you at?
I'm in my place in Valley Village, but I think we've decided we're moving. I think.
Oh, really?
Really?
Whereabouts?
We're out. I think we're done with LA.
Yeah.
I think like enough's enough. Like earthquakes and fires and famous people. Like just too many natural disasters in this fucking place.
It feels like the world doesn't want us to live in Los Angeles anymore.
Yeah.
Like, why aren't you getting the message? Like, evacuate the city. We're closing the city. Yeah.
Do not need this anymore. No, we were thinking about it. I mean, we've been thinking about it for a while because we have a 3-year-old daughter, and we'd just rather raise her somewhere where there's less focus on achievement. And so we were already thinking that. And then on top of that, like, I don't know, I feel like everyone I know in LA would rather live somewhere else, but also it's amazing at the same time. So I don't know. I feel like we want to cut our overhead in half as well, and also be closer to both sets of grandparents. So we're finally going for it.
Right. Nice. You want your daughter to be a good person.
Well, she's probably still going to fail at that. She's like, her personality is very big. She's beautiful. I mean, she's got all the right things to turn into like a female Donald Trump, but we're going to do our best.
So disappointing. Like, she's beautiful. It's a shame.
It's legitimately the worst thing that could have happened to me. Like, I was still holding out for the first year of her life for her to get my nose, because I feel like it's so character building. But she looks like her. She looks beautiful. She looks like her mom. And it's just like, ugh, this is my luck. Because that just seems very hard. I feel like it's really hard. Obviously, I'm not female, but it seems really hard. Growing up,
period.
No,
it's hard. It seems really hard. Period.
It does, right? I mean, I just feel like there's a lot of things to guard against. I mean, all that to say, like, I only want girls. But I'm just terrified. I just want her to be great.
Yeah. Why do you say you only want girls?
Yeah. Oh, so much. I mean, come on. Have you seen boys? Do you guys have any?
We do know boys. We're familiar with boys.
Yeah. I mean, there's this book I read called The Male Brain that talks about like the chemical development of males through different stages. And you realize that we are like, we're very different animals, and it really gives context to why we are so much. I think my dog is trying to get in here right now. I'm so sorry, you guys. We're putting my dog down tomorrow. So, and I posted about it not thinking, I don't know. I didn't think much of it, but now there's like a procession of people coming and going to come see her, which is very sweet, but I wasn't prepared for this.
Thank you for giving us any of your time today when you have a very finite amount of time left with your dog.
Oh, that's so sweet. Well, first of all, let's be clear. I asked you guys to be on this show. How often does that happen? Has that happened a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck you. It happens. It's the only way it happens.
We're always surprised, but yeah.
Yeah. Like, wow. So cool.
Yeah, that's how it goes. It's like getting into an Ivy, bro. Congrats. Sorry, what were we talking about?
The male brain.
Yes.
Mm. Oh, you just realized that we're just like, it's actually a surprise anytime a man turns out to be like functional. There's just a lot of, we have a lot of things primally and chemically that put us in a position to turn out to be, emotionally and physically devastating.
God.
I'm serious.
Yeah, no.
Have you seen little boys run around? They're just trying to kill themselves. And that's actually how we according to the book, that's how we like learn about, or that's how we relate to the world. Whereas females have, I guess, more of an emotional way of learning, when they're younger.
Right.
Right. And boys are just like, I'm going to jump off this thing and see what happens.
Yeah. Delaney, you have kids, right?
No, I have a dog. I'm a dog.
Okay.
Mom.
Maybe that's what I've heard you talk about. Do y'all want kids?
Taylor does still, right?
Not anymore. Not that everything's on fire. Trump's probably going to win again. I was talking to a friend of mine about that last night, where I was like, I don't think we're allowed to have kids. Like, I think I'm 26. Like, I don't think I'm allowed to.
That's a wrap on kids.
That's a wrap
on kids. I got to recycle and not procreate. I think that's, I think that's my future. Go ahead.
No, what were you saying?
Oh, I was gonna pivot a little and say we always ask people on the show, and it seems like you are gonna have a really good answer based on the fact that you've already brought up a book you've read. What is
you're ahead of the curve?
You read a book, Ravi.
Is that how I got into this podcast? They're like, it looks like this guy reads, you guys.
I was like, this guy's already bragging about reading. We get it. We need to brush up. We always ask people what your favorite or least favorite quote is.
Oh boy, this is a real weakness of mine. Okay, I'll tell you, just because this came up a few days ago, someone was asking me, we were talking about love and how, like, how I figured out that my wife, like, my wife was the one. And I was like, well, actually, and this is super cheesy, but it's the truth. So right before I met my wife, I was on a tear, and I needed it because I'd never had it in my life. Okay. So I grew up like the Indian guy that you're looking at, who, like, max height 5'6". And so was probably always compensating, definitely was incredibly unsuccessful with the opposite sex. And when I became single from my previous girlfriend, for the first time in my life, I kind of had confidence, but I also had all the superficial LA shit. Like, I had money, I had success, I had all the things I needed to go out there in the world and do this vapid pursuit. And so I was doing
emotionally
that.
Devastating.
yes, exactly. I was finally ready to be my 4-year-old boy self. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
How old were you?
Probably 32 or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, probably 32. And I say this to mean, like, I went into the complete dark side of just, you know, everything, you know, just having the fun that guys, or just, I guess, people in general have when they're single. And I realized that I was over it. And it was, and more importantly, I was seeing a lot of men, like friends who are older than me, and their lives. And I didn't want that. It just seemed like, oh, like this thing of like going out, meeting women, and, you know, trying to sleep with them. And like, that is actually super fun. It's really rewarding. And it's like, it's kind of the equivalent of like, yeah, I could eat ice cream like every fucking meal because it's ice cream, but it's also not good for me. And
right. What are the long-term effects of eating ice cream every meal?
Yeah, like I can see,
like, a year.
I can see people who eat ice cream every meal don't seem to be doing that well. That was kind of the logic. And my friend had given me this Buddhist pamphlet, and in it, it talked about happiness, and it said that happiness in life is derived by the time we've passed the extent to which you've contributed to evolution. And I was already kind of in this place where I was looking for wisdom, and I'm already the kind of person who, like, again, I listen to your podcast, like, I'm into this kind of stuff.
Oh, thank
and,
you.
And, I, from the, I was thinking on that, and from that I derived, okay, if happiness is derived from the extent to which you're contributed to evolution, the way you can contribute most to evolution in life is probably related to the intimacy with which you have, like, you can affect the people closest to you the most. And if that's the key to happiness, then that's probably also the highest form of intelligence, is knowing that. And so from that, I derive that the sexiest quality in a person should actually be kindness, the ability to love. And a few weeks later, I went out, I met my wife. I, like, begged her to go out with me the next day. And to be honest, like, she's gorgeous. And so I was still in that framework of the other guy. But mm-hmm. then we were at dinner, you know, in our first date, and she was talking about her relationship with her family and her mother specifically. And that quote kind of came up in my head. And had I not read that quote, I think, you know, my previous framing for what I was looking for was the same as, like, everyone's list. Like, adventurous, loves to laugh, has a cool, interesting thing that they do, you know, attractive. But I think because I just, anyway, that's the quote.
Oh, was so sweet. Yeah. Oh, you're like, I have a weakness for this. You're like, I don't have anything. And then you just pulled out something beautiful and romantic and deep. It's like, Matt was just talking about this
the other day. Gotcha. Good boy, Dad. You know, you should rethink that decision.
That's why I got in, you guys. That's why I got in.
So I watched part of your show. It's fantastic. I cannot wait to finish it. It's so good. It's so well done.
Thank you.
I have
much.
Not seen anything like it. It's just excellent. So I have a lot of questions about it, if that's cool.
Yeah.
First of all, your parents are hilarious and very charismatic. yeah. I thought it was so interesting in, you know, episode 1, you're kind of talking about how boundaries are almost seen as disrespectful in your family. And I'm so curious, how do you navigate that with your wife and, you know, and everybody, you know, trying to make everybody happy. And with, you know, one side of the family, not a lot of boundaries. One side of the family, they want boundaries. How does that work?
Yeah. I mean, that was a lot of questions, but I'll start with saying, I think in general, we all know how hard it is to try to help everyone get along. I mean, that's the conceit of community and family, friends. It definitely was hard with my family because, you know, specifically with that stuff, that's a big difference culturally. Americans are intensely private and individualized. And Indians are intensely the opposite. And in general, I think, you know, when you get married and two families are coming together, you're having to reconcile two different value systems. So it's really hard. I would say therapy, couples therapy, and time. I mean, I think the one thing, my wife and I are actually complete opposites personality-wise. Could not be further apart. I don't know that people would put us together. But the thing that I think does bind us is we're both all about family. We're super committed. And, you know, I look back now, we had this conversation kind of recently because the first few years of our marriage, we moved so fast. Like I proposed a year from the day we met. We were pregnant not long after that. We bought a new place and renovated it. I was on the road for work. I was out of the country like 7 months of the first year of our baby's life. And they were with me for parts of it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I would be always working. And so she was kind of a single mom, you know, in the middle of nowhere. During, it just tore us up and it got really dark. And I look back and I feel like now we're actually best friends, whereas before we said it, but it probably wasn't actually the case. We just hadn't done the time. We hadn't been through enough. But I think because we both are so committed, we literally, that was the only thing that got us through some of those times when it was fucking hopeless and exhausting. I mean, we all know what it's like to, you know, be in a relationship and let's say you like, you're busy with work. You've had a long fucking day. Then you come home. What's the worst thing that can happen? You get in a fight. And they're so long. You're so tired. Half these fights, you're like an hour deep and you're like, I don't even know what the fuck we're talking about. Don't know what we're talking about. I went out, you went out, but we're not going to get out. So we're going to keep, you know,
and it's just like a war of attrition. How did we get here? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it quite often just ends with just someone saying, I'm just really tired. Me too. I love you. Okay. We'll finish this tomorrow.
We'll resume this fight tomorrow.
Yeah.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center. Thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And so, also, I feel like when you're coming back from, if you're exhausted, if you're run down, you're that much more susceptible to get into a fight. And it's the worst time to get into a fight. And that can just, that's a vicious cycle for sure.
Yeah. What are y'all's relationship? Delaney, you're married?
Engaged, yeah.
Engaged.
So, hopefully.
Okay. When are you doing it? Have you decided?
We're supposed to do it in spring of 2021, but we have a feeling we'll be postponing because, you know, the apocalypse. So we'll see.
Love it. And then Kelsey, one of you lives with your boyfriend.
No, we're all going through transitions right now.
let's hear it.
This is a loaded question.
That's the rest of it. That is the rest of this podcast. That is, let's go.
This is asking you for relationship advice.
Oh my God, I love this. Let's hear it.
I'm divorced.
Recently?
Yeah.
Oh, how are you doing? Can we talk about it?
I'm okay. I mean, we've talked about it a little bit on the podcast already, but I got divorced like a week before COVID hit. And so this year's been a year of many transitions, but I'm all right.
Is COVID like this experience, the pandemic experience, is that an actual metaphor for the loneliness of going through a divorce to begin with?
For sure. I mean, it's historically one of the most difficult times to ever go through a divorce, for sure. Because you can't go do the things you would usually do to try and heal during a hard time like that. You can't really throw yourself, at least in my case, I couldn't throw myself into my work because all stand-up dates got canceled. I couldn't travel anywhere to go see friends, see family. You can't just even go out and do regular activities within your city that you would do to make yourself feel better and a little more healed. It's been a lot of just thoughts and feelings, like 24 hours a day, not a lot of distraction. So, in recent times,
Would you describe the arc of kind of coping, recovery, reinventing yourself?
There are, you know, seven stages of grief, right? So they're moving through that in the middle of the pandemic, and also just some like identity crisis feelings of like, well, I'm gonna just start putting myself out there in ways that I hadn't before. Like, I went surfing for the first time a couple weeks ago. I shot a gun for the first time a week ago. I'm doing things that used to absolutely terrify me. But I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to start doing things that I never thought I would. And I'm so happy I have, because that's been really healing to face fears and feel like I'm building a better relationship with myself, if that answers your question.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's my favorite part of a deep, dark moment is that it's also an opportunity, in the most contrived sense, it's an opportunity to reinvent yourself. And that is like, last time I went through a big breakup, it was super hard and scary, but also like, once I got into that groove, it was a rush, you know, of becoming this new, I'm like, oh wait, I get to become this whole person. In fact, like, I'm in the middle of crafting my own narrative, because in this narrative of my life, I'm going to have to tell this story beat. And I kind of want it to be like this awful, but then out of it came this beautiful thing.
Yeah. And I was with my ex for 8 years. And so I feel like this is this time for me to get to know myself again. I mean, I started dating him when I was 22 and now I'm 31. So it's almost like I came out of it like, God, I don't even necessarily know who I am fully anymore at this time in my life. And that's been really cool to feel more in touch with myself. And I've been, I think, more creative. That's one good thing of quarantine, is getting more creative and just forcing yourself like, all right, well, what else am I going to do today besides write or make a comedy sketch? And it's cool to feel the silver lining of becoming single, because like you said, in the beginning, you're like, fuck, this is so hard and painful. But
yeah,
there's still, you know, still hard days, but I'm doing more things to take care of myself now.
Well, I mean, grief, I find that grief is not something that you necessarily like get rid of. It's like a best friend that you learn to live with.
Right.
Have you ever heard of, have you ever read about like the return to Saturn? Do you know what that is?
No.
Okay, so the return to Saturn. Oh my, wow, you guys must think I'm so weird. I'm not into astrology at all, but this is one thing that someone shared with me that I thought was actually pretty interesting. So I guess Saturn returns to the same point in its orbit every 27 to 33 years, somewhere in that range. And similarly, we as humans return to the same point in our orbits. And I know that when I was your age, Kelsey, I'm 41 now. When I was your age, it was definitely, and of course it coincided with the big breakup that was also around the same length, I think. Maybe a little less than that. But how can I describe it? Okay. This is another quote. I've got two fucking quotes, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm on fire.
Yeah.
I'm on.
You're killing it.
What? Yeah. So I don't know if this is the exact quote, but it's something along the lines of your 20s is about becoming the person you want to be, and your 30s is about becoming the person you are. And I think the return to Saturn is kind of that point of inference, that shift of where you're no longer aspiring to become this picture of yourself that you painted mostly out of like external bullshit. And instead you're looking inwards and figuring out like how to love all of it, including the ugly shit. And so there's a chance, Kelsey, that you're going through that as well, which is pretty exciting and terrifying, but exciting.
It is. Yeah. It's nice to be getting to a place where I'm like, this is good for me, and I'm enjoying parts of this now. Yeah.
Are you doing the like intense, are you in like the workout montage phase too? Are you doing that stuff?
A little bit, yeah. Not to be cliche, but
be cliche.
Lean into time. It.
Yeah.
I've getting outside in any way I can, going on runs, going on walks, like I mentioned, surfing, anything I can do that's making me feel better and healthier kind of only helps in a hard time right now. So yeah, that's happening for sure.
Surfing's hard.
It is.
Yeah.
But I think it's good too at a time where a lot of us have a ton of anxiety right now in this pandemic that maybe we haven't had before. Maybe you've had it, but it's worse.
Right.
There's something very powerful about going and doing an activity like surfing that requires your full attention.
Yep.
You can't be catastrophizing about whatever bullshit thing you were thinking about before you got in the water, because like, there's a wave coming, so you better think about what you want to do so you stay alive. And I know that's maybe an extreme version of therapy, but it's good. It's good for me to set my phone somewhere else, go be in the water, and only focus on that for an hour.
It's really good. And also getting your body to complete exhaustion.
Yes.
Like pushing it beyond the point that you comfortably usually would is actually insanely healthy for, it's really big for brain health. But it's also great for you emotionally. It actually is a big de-stressor.
Yes. Yeah. It's.
And all that swimming, all that paddling is fucking exhausting.
So exhausting. And
it's so exhausting.
Something about doing a workout in a way that's a little bit beyond your control. If I'm just trying to follow a YouTube workout video in my living room, I'm probably going to cut some corners, right? Because nobody's, have a high school coach screaming at me to do it the
Snacks
right way. Snacks nearby. Yep. And my cats are crawling on me. It's like, it's not the same.
How many cats are we talking here?
Well, there were three, and then he kept one, and I have two.
Okay. I think two's a good number. I would.
They're big cats.
I mean, we're right on the cusp of becoming alone forever if I get another cat.
We're actually apparently getting a cat really soon.
So we'll see what I end up with. That's my relationship. So.
But that's all beautiful and great.
Thank you.
You and your wife seem like the type of couple who get asked for advice a lot of the time. Is that true and accurate? I just want what you guys have. What do I do? Do you guys get that a lot?
Well, what makes you say that?
Because I want to ask you. That's what makes me say that.
Because I'm assuming other people feel the way I feel now. I guess. I mean, look, I think if you're friends with me, you're going to get a lot of unsolicited advice, which goes back to the genetic thing we talked about, boundaries, earlier. So on my end, you're getting the advice. My wife, on the other hand, again, is the opposite. she is definitely the person in, you know, all of her friends' lives who people ask for advice. And it's like one of my favorite things about, well, I guess now that I think about it, all the dudes in my life, like I've literally sent every dude in my life to therapy.
Good for you. Thank you. Yay. That is
I'm doing single-handedly fighting the fight, ladies.
Wonderful so community wonderful. Service. Thank you.
Yeah. 80% of them go to Janice. Like Janice sees so many. My wife, she threw a surprise like birthday thing for my 40th birthday a couple years ago. And at dinner, we realized, like, we're like, how many people here see Janice? And like fucking like 20 people right there.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I don't think I'm getting a discount, which is, I think, the most.
Get a referral. Referral.
Yeah, at some point, it's like, Janice, I'm paying the mortgage here.
Yeah. What is the, I need the therapy punch card of how many friends I've referred to.
Yeah. Do I get a free sub yet?
Yeah.
Janice, do I get $5 like Postmates? Like
something. Something. Yeah. We get asked for advice a lot. What did you want to ask me for advice on, Taylor? Let's get into it.
I meant more so, I mean, it sounds like you guys get asked for advice as individuals.
We do.
But also just as a couple, do you guys, you know, are you guys taking care of your friends' hearts? or do you only hang out with other happily married people?
Yeah, we're pretty picky. We I think couples ask us for advice. I mean, I don't know that it's special though. I think, you know, like most people, we only have a handful of people that we have the capacity to really love. I mean, all of us only have limited bandwidth. And yeah. I think the older you get, especially when you have a kid, you become even pickier with who. So, and part of the responsibility, I think, when you're like tight with people is being their confidant. So I don't know that we have anything different in that department than anyone else. But yeah, like when people go through shit, whether it's like, you know, divorce or just, you know, fights or, you know, tough times medically, like I think, again, this is one of the things I really love about my wife is like, she loves getting in there as much as I do. And it's kind of like a fun thing to do as a team to be good friends to people you love together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Taylor, let's talk about your life.
Seriously. Oh my gosh. I was really trying to
weren't you
here.
Next? I just feel like that was,
I mean, we're having you on the podcast. Yeah.
Nobody cares about me. And literally everything I've made is about my life. It's all available. It's out there. So
well, that's what I was going to ask.
People don't have questions.
I was going to say, I mean, cause obviously you've done a lot of acting as well. I mean, is there, a difference in terms of like which one you enjoy more? Like, do you enjoy, you know, this type of show where you are like giving so much of yourself and letting people into your family and your relationship? Or do you prefer to kind of like just play a part on a show or in a movie and just kind of like memorize lines and show up for work? Or do you go through phases at different points in your life where one's more enjoyable?
No, it's pretty simple. Like, I don't really care about acting that much. I never have. I mean, don't get me wrong. Sometimes it's really fun, but I would say it's like, acting is like, to me at least, it's like playing basketball. Like, I enjoy playing basketball, but like, do I need to do it all day, every day? Is it like a source of my self-worth? No, like it's just, I'm just playing basketball. That's how I look at acting. Like, I know that I'm really lucky that I have my career. It's super fun. Sometimes for different reasons, whether it's because of the people I get to be around or just because the acting is like that fun. And I like love improvising. But you know, acting is generally like the worst girlfriend ever, like just fucking crazy, like doesn't, you know, isn't it, like hates your family, treats you like shit, like, you know, says she loves you, but then, you know, fucks your friends and then, you know, but is like incredible in bed. Like, that is acting. And like, I don't think it's a healthy career at all. And you don't have control in it. And I know you guys know exactly. I'm willing to bet you agree with everything I just fucking said.
Mm-hmm. What a great metaphor. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, this other thing is great. I mean, I first of all, I'm very fortunate that I don't care that much about what people I don't love think of me. So like, I have no problem opening up, and like, I get a kick out of the inner journey as much as I do the outer journey. I'm like obsessed with bonding. I love figuring out ways to have more fun. And so, yeah, how amazing is it that I get to monetize these things that, you know, I mean, that's what y'all are doing. Let's think, I mean, these are all like, you know, figuring out a way to marry our career with our journeys is like such a fucking privilege. And I get to creatively, I love like figuring out a way to tell the story. Now, all that said, I just this morning was thinking, I'm so fucking tired of trying to make a living. Like, making a living is exhausting. It feels like it shouldn't be so hard.
Yeah, it's true. It's so true, especially in entertainment.
Especially in entertainment. I mean, where are you guys at on all that though?
Like what specifically?
How do you feel about fulfillment? Like, what parts of your careers do you find most fulfilling? And how do you feel about the personal side of it? Like, I think this podcast is actually a great example. Would you say this, how's the fulfillment of this podcast compared to your other endeavors?
Well, I mean, Delaney's probably the most fulfilled because she got out of stand-up.
And making like dick mugs or...
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
I left entertainment like 2.5 years ago now. And now I'm a full-time consultant. So I consult, you know, with podcasters and performers and business owners, and I absolutely love it. I've never felt so happy in a career. I felt lost for like a decade, and it's sad to say, like, I love what I'm doing, and it's a fucking pandemic at the same time. It's like, right. I feel personally very, very happy and fulfilled, and I also love doing the podcast. This is like, it's like our art project that we get paid to do. It's insane. It's just, it's the best. So I love, really, truly love both of my jobs so much, but I've took a long time to get there. Definitely.
Yeah. And that's then, awesome. You know, Tay and I both do stand up full time, but I don't know if you feel this way, Tay. I love the balance of having the podcast and doing stand up because our stand up fans are different. I mean, there is overlap, but then our podcast listeners, where we get so personal on the podcast. And when we meet our podcast listeners in person, they feel so much more connected to us, I think, than maybe just somebody who's watched our stand-up. And that feels great. Like, we love getting emails from people saying that the show has helped them in their life. And we love our listeners. We're so lucky to have such amazing podcast listeners, truly. Just an example of how great our listeners are. When I made the announcement that I got divorced, the only messages I received were people just saying like, hey, just sending you love. Nobody was like, oh, let's try and like pry and let's like, everybody was so respectful and nice and just wanted to be like, hey, we'll get messages where it's like, no need to respond. How nice is that? That listeners go ahead and say, hey, there's no need to respond to this. This is just to tell you we're thinking of you and we love you. So
they've been in therapy and they're doing a lot of work on themselves.
They understand. Yeah.
That's so implausible though. I'm wondering if there's like some sort of hate filter in your DMs.
No,
you're going to go into like that third layer of Instagram messages of unread strangers.
Yeah. No, I love having the podcast, and I love Taylor and Delaney so much. It's so great to work with two of your best friends, whereas stand up, you're, you know, it's a solo thing.
Mm-hmm. It comes across. And I think that is the feeling in listening to y'all's show, is like you're hanging out with friends. And yeah, that's super comforting. I think that's the beauty of podcasting as well, is the intimacy of it. Like, you feel like, I was thinking about this a couple weeks ago. I'm like, is Joe Rogan one of my best friends? I've spent so much time with that dude. Yeah. I've spent so much time with him and we've never met.
Yep.
No idea who he is. Yeah. But Taylor, I feel like I know him so well. What's up?
Oh yeah. I was just gonna ask Taylor, how do you feel with like the stand-up podcast balance?
Oh, I agree. I mean, the people who come to shows who are specifically podcast listeners, it is very different. I mean, those are the people who get really emotional and say very nice things. And you know, I had a Netflix special come out during the pandemic. So I've only performed a few times and had people come up who were that level of intense, that was similar to the podcast listeners just off of the Netflix special, cause it reached more people. But prior to that, the only people who were like that invested listened to the podcast and felt like they knew me and knew the three of us and would bring gifts to shows and tell me to tell Delaney and Kelsey things and, you know, send us pictures of them at each one of our shows when we came through town. And, yeah, it's been very fulfilling and, nice and a great way for the three of us to stay connected. Cause as I'm sure you know, this business is hard to stay connected to people unless you're working together on something.
Do you feel like this is, changed what you guys are now looking for? I'll preface it like I made a documentary with my sister called Meet the Patels, and it changed my life in the sense that obviously it made me intensely closer to all my family members, but also it gave me a taste of what I can look for in, I can't think of an uncheesy way to say it, but craft. Like, it taught me that it can bring you, it can teach you about yourself. It can bring you closer to people in your life. Has this, what you guys just described, which by the way is very sweet, very beautiful, and you've probably done it before on the podcast, so thanks for doing it again if that's the case. would you say that this has changed how you look at the rest of your pursuits?
I have to duck out. I'm so sorry. I have to go to my therapy appointment. This has been my pre-therapy appointment.
Wow. So okay. Yeah.
Thank you for putting me up for it. It was so nice to meet you, Rebby. Thank you so much for doing
so
it.
So nice to meet you too, Kelsey. Good luck in therapy. Tell Janice I say hi.
I will. Bye, guys.
I'm a completely different person than when we started the podcast. I don't even recognize myself, right, Taylor? I am very, very different. Literally everything is different about me. My lifestyle, my career, my viewpoint on relationships, everything. I don't think anything is kind of similar in that respect. So it's changed my life completely, because part of this podcast is we learn something new every week. We learn from our guests, we do research on something. And so it's just kind of built into our routine, is to kind of open ourselves up to new ideas, new thoughts, new lifestyles, you know, all that. So I don't know, Taylor, how do you feel?
I completely agree. I mean, we've been doing this podcast for 3 years. Delaney's like now a vegan who's getting off of social media and is gonna get married in a courthouse soon. Like, Delaney was like fresh off a tear, like eating, you know, quadruple burgers at In-N-Out, like could not be more different.
As going hard.
Very going different.
So hard.
Is that real shit? Vegan?
Yeah.
Real shit. I went from, I'm vegan now. I'm in a very wonderful relationship. I left the entertainment industry.
This is a complete cleanse.
So complete. I was stressed out, burnt out, busy constantly, fucking miserable. And now I feel very kind of confident in what I'm doing and, oh, just completely different. I probably don't know if I would hang out with the person I was just like 5 years ago.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I think I'm going to, so I just figured out that I just got diagnosed with ADHD which is the least surprising thing in the history of medicine. And I've been taking, what's it called? I've been taking like a Ritalin Adderall equivalent. And I just got off it because I hated it. Made me super anxious. And now they want me to try another one. And I think what I'm going to do instead is go on a full on brain cleanse. And, but it's going to be all the things that you just described, because the things that you would do, all the self-helpy things you would do to just be happier, are the things that improve your brain health, basically. So I'm in the middle. Like, I was just talking to someone this morning about it, because I'm like putting together an intense plan, which I'm sure I'll document.
I cannot wait for that.
Wow. I think I'm going to read about how to change your habits and get out of a rut. Cause I think that's probably step one for me. And then I'm going to, you know, change my diet. I think I'm gonna go super clean, like crazy clean, exercise, which I stopped doing like 5 months ago. It's been amazing, by the way. it's been awesome. And then doing kind of all this, all the other, I'm going to take vitamins, sleep stuff, meditation. So I kind of feel like you can help me with that. I don't know what else.
Reach out.
What are your like top three favorite new things that you do that have changed your life?
God, that's such a good question. I go for,
I know. Do we even need Kelsey? Like, this is, this is us. This is great. Sorry.
I walk.
I should go. I'm going to go too.
No, I meant the three of us, Taylor.
This is us, the sequel. I walk for 3 hours a day on average. I love walks. I feel like they're very meditative. I'll usually walk with either a friend or my fiance Cam, or just my dog, or by myself. Mm-hmm. Being on a plant-based diet was a game changer. It eliminated a lot of health issues I was having. So I just feel more energized and I feel good. And I'm not trying to convert anybody. I just am telling you my experience. We get a lot of comments when we talk about veganism on here. And I'm a minimalist too. So I got rid of like 95% of my stuff like 5 years ago, and slowly kind of have been whittling things down. So everything I own is what I need and what I love, and there's no excess. So I would say, I don't know. There's so many things, but those are three.
Those are good ones.
Do something for your body, your mind, and your soul. You know, yeah. take care of it all.
What about you, Taylor? New habits.
I mean, I'm still a stand-up comedian and recovering serial monogamous. So I have nothing. I can't give up eggs. That's my one thing keeping me from veganism. So
eggs are great.
I'm like right there. I know. I can't give up eggs. The least thing I can do.
What's your daily egg situation?
I mean, like 2 a.m. I'm not going crazy.
How are you prepping them?
I mean, there's so many ways you can prep them. It depends on my mood that day.
You're so wild. It does. Whatever. You don't give a fuck. You'll do whatever with eggs. Who knows? It's not predictable. I do. My new pandemic move is, I'd say about 4 or 5 mornings a week, I make a decadent egg sandwich, like on brioche. There's a shitload of cheese in it. Yeah. I mean, y'all, I've been living. And other days, it's today I made pancakes with chocolate chips in them. And I mean, I've been killing it. I drink a lot. I'm playing poker 2-3 nights a week. You know, I don't look my best, but I feel amazing.
COVID's been great for you.
Yeah.
COVID's been great for me. Letting go is really great.
Well, it's so funny because Kelsey and I have talked about this. Like, we're usually traveling every weekend, and I'm sure you travel a lot too normally. Yeah. And it's like, in a way, this is the healthiest we've ever been in terms of like sleeping enough and like not getting a cold every 2 weeks for no reason.
Totally. Also for me, just not being so work obsessed. This is the longest I think I can remember. Like there was a point a few weeks ago where I was in the dark eating ice cream, doing nothing but just that. And I remember feeling so good about myself. One, because I was eating ice cream and that's a good feeling. But two, I didn't feel bad about it. And that's a new feeling for me to be like totally cool with like living what it turns out is like, there's a reason why most people live this way. It's actually primally quite satisfying. Now that said, I've got to go on this. Things have got to change.
Yes.
This can't go on forever.
Yes.
My wife is becoming unattracted to, yeah, she, yeah. She's like, what is this? What the fuck is this? What's going on here?
He's like, so cleanse? You're like, what? She's like, nothing.
Ravi, I have a question for you just about, because, you know, with your show, you talk to a lot of people who are in the phase of retirement. And mm-hmm. I feel like that's, we don't talk about that enough, like the game plan for families and everything. Have you noticed a theme with people of what they actually care about at that age?
I guess the thing that was, well, there was many things that were surprising about that journey. For anyone who's listening, by the way, the first episode of Pursuit of Happiness, I went to one of the hottest retirement destinations for expats. And I went there with my parents, and that episode is about aging and retirement. And really, by the way, that came out of therapy because I'd asked my therapist, hey, what are the questions I'm going to want to ask? I'm going to wish I'd asked sooner once my parents pass. And so that episode is really about like, what are we going to do with the time we have left together? One of the things that was really surprising was realizing that retirement has evolved where because people are living so much longer, there's kind of two phases to retirement now. There's a like spring break phase that a lot of them have before the like, you know, we're on the way out phase. And that first spring break phase is what a lot of those people in Mexico were doing. Right. Like they didn't bring any friends with them. They're all meeting each other there. They've never been happier and they're living it up. It's awesome. The other realization was, you know, this goes back to what I was saying about, earlier about the way American culture is so intensely individualized. We're very private. And it got me thinking of how I feel like our parents got kind of screwed because they grew up with the status quo being that families are geographically closer together and also just spend more time together. There's a degree of codependence that used to exist that no longer exists. We live actually further away from each other. We don't need wisdom from them. We have Google. We don't need, you know, like we don't need each other. And as a result, we don't see each other as much. And I also think the dynamic of relationships change when there's not a dependency. Dependency is actually like, if you have any friends who've been to AA or anything, like that's like the main, that's like one of the beauties of that program is it teaches you that, you know, to rely on each other. So that was a sad thing that came out of the episode was realizing, oh, we don't need our parents the way that we used to. And in fact, we're spending less and less time with them. At one point during the episode, you know, I asked my parents, like, have you ever done the math of how many times we're going to actually see each other based on, we see each other 2-3 times a year? It's actually really sad. But all that said, because of that, it's made me be a little more vigilant about making sure we all get what we want out of the time we have left together. It's a big reason why we're going to move to the East Coast to be closer to them and, you know, have more fun together. Also, I'm also in the rare, weird position where because of Meet the Patels, my parents are like pseudo famous now and they're in entertainment. I just shot something in India last year that I cast them in. They were amazing.
So good.
Just before we got on the phone, I was on the phone with the director of the show in Jersey, because that's where my parents are right now, acting in a show. And it was like a big fucking thing, like to let them go in the first place. And I was like a soccer mom. And I'm like, well, listen, if it really means that much to you, I guess it's fine. But you really need to like, and then of course my mom calls me and she's like, I can't control your dad. Like he's so friendly. He's doing and talking to everyone. And she's like sending me a picture of him like chatting up in his like security guard acting uniform. So I call the director. I'm like, listen, you know, my parents, you have to look at them, you know, like they're children, like they are minors. You need to take initiative, be a dick, like make them like they went and ate in a restaurant, and I'm like, don't go to a restaurant. Don't eat, go inside a restaurant. Like, you don't need to do that. Like, so it's also been like a really fun, like, and that's why, you know, I put them in the show. Like, it's a fun way to get to overlap. And also, like, what a cool thing to be able to, like, my dad all the time, he's like the happiest guy in the world. He's like, you know, who would have ever thought that we'd have this kind of a life, and it's all because of our kids, you know? And it's really fun and sweet that we get to spend. How many questions did I just answer? Like, definitely more than you asked.
So good.
That's great.
Yeah. I mean, I've done that with my grandparents, that math where you go, okay, if I see them, you know, 2-3 times a year, mm-hmm. and ideally, like, this is the maximum amount of time, and it does make you more intentional, for sure. I mean, yeah. You know, I'm from California, so as much as I'd like to move when it's on fire, I'm like, this is where my whole family is. So
right.
We're here unless everybody's going to get, you know, real cool about moving soon. But it's
right.
It's such a factor when you think about how you want to spend your time. And I think the silver lining of this pandemic and this whole year being such a shit show nightmare that everybody's kind of reevaluating in kind of a beautiful way.
Oh, that's great. So I assume you guys are pretty close.
Yeah, me and my family. I have 3 younger sisters and we're like very close. Ugh. Like I was living with, during the pandemic, I was living with my boyfriend who we were in a long distance relationship. He's from New York City. And we broke up in the last couple of months because I was just like, I have to stay near my sisters. Like I'm never going to move there and you don't want to move here. And so kind of where are we going to go? And, you know, I think something like a pandemic makes you realize in a way that maybe I wouldn't have beforehand. Maybe I would have gone like, well, we can do this a little bit longer and go back and forth. And now I think I'm in a place of like, oh, I need to see my family as much as I can. And I already travel so much for work. And it has really helped clarify a lot for me. And it sounds like you were already very clear before the pandemic, but a lot of us are leveling up to where you are, hopefully.
No, I think that you kind of make me sound like a family supremacist. I think the pandemic is for everyone. I think it's the skies have cleared on the, like, the bullshit and what really matters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lenny, are you close to your family?
Yeah, I definitely am. I'm all my family's out here too. So I have, also have 3 younger siblings and I've been able to see a lot more of them, which has been great. And I just want to keep doing that. So yeah, family is family and a relationship is a big reason why I felt like I needed to leave entertainment too, because I noticed that relationships were not sticking so well. And I really wanted that. And I wasn't as close with my family as I really wanted to be. And of course people can establish that balance in this industry, of course, but I felt like I was having a really hard time doing that. And so I feel like I've been reaping the benefits of that decision, although it was very hard the last couple of years. So yeah, it's been nice.
New Delaney. What a
new me.
So much. So I love it. Eat, pray, Delaney. Love it.
Oh, it's your new creative consulting course. Eat, pray, Delaney.
Eat, pray,
so
Delaney.
Good.
Oh my gosh. So
want to change? Want to turn it to a podcast?
Oh my goodness.
Oh wow. Well, we probably have to wrap it. I'm sure everybody has to get going, but thank you so much for doing this. I feel like we could talk to you all day. I got so many more questions, but is there anything that you'd like to leave our listeners with? And then also where people can find you and connect with you.
Answer to the first question is no. I mean, I'm happy to leave things if there's things to leave. But thank you for having me. I'm excited to chat with you guys. And like I said, like I listen to y'all's podcast. And I think y'all's dynamic is very, I don't know. It's very, you can feel the love between y'all and, I don't know. It's fun to listen in. Where can people find me? Oh my God. I just made my profiles public and I'm so insecure about it. I'm really? At Show Me the Ruvy on Instagram. Show Me the Ruvy. Yeah. And the same on Twitter. So yeah.
Wow.
Hop aboard.
Welcome. Welcome.
Wow. I'm so insecure about it. I kind of want to go back to private because it just, I'm already getting like, you know, my people are telling me I need to do things. And I'm like, but that's not my thing. I don't do that. Like, I can't, what am I going to post? They want me to post a lot. And that's not my.
Floodgates are open now.
Oh my goodness. Wow. I did not know they were private up until recently.
Yeah. Basically I made it public once the HBO show came out. Cause I have like three things coming out in the next few months. And it's like, it's a weird decision. It's like, not that I have a problem with anyone doing it. I think it's great. It's just not like, it's just not something that like, I don't check it that often. I don't post, like, I'm just not good. I'm not even good at texting people back. It's just not something I'm good at. It's not. And so for me, it was like, okay, like if I make it public, I'm going to feel this pressure subconsciously to be opportunistic in terms of social messaging. And right. It's not like I have a problem doing, like I work a lot and I already, you know, am constantly, you know, trying to calm my mind from doing so many things. But then at the same time, like feels like such a big moment and I don't want to regret from a career perspective. I don't know. Is this gross talking about it this way?
No.
It's so funny. We just recorded an episode about the social dilemma before we hopped down with you.
I've only watched first 20, 30 minutes. Everyone's talking about it.
It is fascinating. Keep going and finish it.
It seems fascinating. Well, it actually reminds me of a book. I'm pretty sure it's similar to a book I read. You almost think I read a lot. I don't. called How to Break Up With Your Phone. Have you heard about this book?
Oh, yes. I have to read that.
It's a very quick read. Oh, read it. It's 100%. That's one of the things I'm going to do for my brain cleanse, by the way.
Ooh.
But basically what it does is it says that it basically positions phones as like the new cigarettes. So we're going to look back at the way we use phones and be shocked at how permissive we were with them. And obviously it goes into, I think, a lot of the same messages as Social Dilemma, which is like cluing you in on the extent to which you're manipulated and how addictive it is and how just terrible it is for your brain chemistry and your relationships. Anyway, good to be public. I'm excited to jump in.
Gonna be part of the problem.
You're gonna get flooded with people.
Well, thank you so much for being here. Please come back after your brain cleanse and tell us how it went.
I mean, I'll be too good. I'll be too good for you guys.
I'll be too good to do that. Yeah.
It'll be an eat, pray, rub experience.
Huh? Eat, pray, rub. Want to start a podcast? Y'all are the best.
Thank you so much.
Y'all are the fucking best. This was fun. Thanks for having me, for real.
So fun. Thanks.
No, we appreciate it. You were great. Thank you.
All right. Let's be friends. See y'all.
Let's do it.
Bye.
What a lovely, lovely man.
Like, I would like him to be my very close friend. I want to hang out with him.
I was like feeling bad because he was asking us so many questions and I kept trying to like steer it back to him. And he's just like, I mean, everyone knows everything about me. But I'm like, I mean, everything. Like, he's so interesting and like just smart and creative and just like so impressive as an artistic person in this business and who's just like done so much.
Yeah.
I do love that he's like acting stupid. But like, yeah, I really could have talked to him for hours. He was amazing. Watch his show on HBO Max, Pursuit of Happiness. It's so good, you guys.
It's so good. And his family is so charismatic. Like, it is such a good combination of like important discussion topics, very funny and very heartwarming. Like, it's got all the stuff. And I think watching it will bring up a lot of good conversations between you and your own family if you watch it. I think it's really, really good. So yeah, I enjoyed it very much. And we do have an iTunes review of the episode. Taylor, would you like to read this one?
This is from MallowKitty9. A new fan. I was introduced to this podcast in the midst of a breakup and was told to listen to the episode How to Heal a Broken Heart. Oh, I have been hooked ever since. Thank you for your humor, vulnerability, and authenticity. Self-Helpless is funny and refreshing while engaging in important conversations. I love listening in. Oh, that's so nice. Thank you.
That is so very nice. Yeah, thank you so much. If you want to leave an iTunes review, we won't be mad at it. Feel free.
No. I'm mad at it.
And you might get it read on the episode. Taylor, do you have any shout-outs or plugs or any fun news in your world?
I just got bangs.
Yes, you did. And they are cute as
I'm
shit.
I'm going through something. if you guys don't have the Face app, if you pay $5 a month, you can see what you look like with bangs. And I did. And that's why I got them. I never would have got bangs if I didn't use the Face app. Yeah, what's this is not sponsored by the Face app. It's just called Face app.
Face app. And you just put a picture of yourself and then you could... just
and
put bangs.
Add bangs. They add different types of bangs so you can see. And this is what they looked like in the picture.
How, so is it just a bang app or do they have like other colors of hair styles? And
other colors of hair, which that's like some of them look better than others. Like if you want to know what you look like with black hair, like you could figure it out on there. But yeah. Like blonde might look a little weird. But you can also like, you know, mix your face with someone else's face and like kind of see that. So I think people use it like in their relationships, like what would our kids look like? But right. Really the only thing I'm interested in it for, and I think it's worth it for the monthly purchase is to see what you'd look like with bangs. If you are.
Oh, you purchased the app.
it's $5 a month. I'm going to delete it now, but it was worth $5 to
it
know
what you needed it to bangs. Do.
Yes.
Well, it paid off. It looks so good. You're one of those lucky people who look good with bangs and without bangs. I feel like, unfortunately, not everybody can pull them off, including myself. Because I have such thin hair up here. So when I get bangs, it just looks like sad strands that just got stuck to my sweaty forehead. And it just looks like that was a mistake. That was an accident. That wasn't an intentional.
But you've not seen Malaika yet. And she's like a magician.
No, I have not.
And Kelsey's hair, and she's so good.
I'm going to have to do that. We'll have to ease into it. Bangs will probably be another 5 years from now if I want to test it out.
Yeah, start with a professional cutting your hair.
Baby steps. let's see. I have like a good shit / shout out. I have to give one of my wonderful clients a shout out. Shout out to Courtney. Courtney has doubled her income this year. She just got a new office. She is just absolutely crushing it. She is such a talented wedding invitation, fine artist, designer. She also is a muralist and she does like hand paintings on clothing and accessories and stuff like that. Taylor, the shoes that you saw on Instagram that you loved with the little beetles, that's her. I just wanted to say I'm really proud of you and I can't wait to map out our course of action on our next call for next year. And let's double your income all over again, baby. Let's do it. So I'm really proud of her.
I wanted her to do this for me. I just haven't found the right sandals yet.
Oh, yeah.
I do. I'm going to hit her up.
Dude, she's so – seriously, you guys need to go check out at They Call Me Spindles. I'm blown away by her work. There's nothing that she can't paint or do. She does murals all over the place. She is getting really, really booked up with all of her wedding stuff. So seriously, if somebody's getting married in the next, year, reach out to her now because she books far in advance. So anyway, really proud of her. So I just wanted to give her a shout out. We've been working together over a year now and I've seen so much growth and it just makes me very happy.
Like a
prep
mom.
I am. Since I'm not going to have any kids of my own. These are my kids. My clients are my babies. Yes. Cool. I think that about does it. Taylor, any last words of wisdom?
Be safe. You know, go with God. Peace be with you. We hope you're doing okay.
Yeah. I think that's a great way to end it.
Thank you.
Love you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you guys so much for listening to Self Helpless. We really appreciate it and would love anything you can do to help the show grow and get the word out. So if you could leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, that helps us move up the iTunes charts. If you can tell a friend, a coworker, a family member, anybody that you think would love the podcast. You can also screenshot an episode and share it in your Instagram, in your Instagram stories, anything helps. Also, if you want more of the show, if you want bonus episodes, if you want to be able to be more interactive and help choose podcast topics, you can go to patreon.com/selfhelpless and join there. You guys can follow me on Instagram at Kelsey Cook Comedy, on Twitter at Kelsey Cook. You can go to my website, kelseycook.com, which has links to my online makeup course. You can listen to my album, Savor It, on Spotify and iTunes. And you can watch my foosball web series on YouTube called Wrists of Fury. How about you guys? Where can people find you?
You can follow me at Taylor Tomlinson on Instagram and Twitter. My website is ttomcomedy.com. And you can watch my 1 hour special streaming on Netflix right now called Quarter Life Crisis.
Awesome. And you can find me at DelaneyFisher.com. That's where you'll find information about my one-to-one consulting and my online courses. So basically, if you're a business owner, podcaster, or comedian, and you're looking to either start those things or grow those things, you can reach out to me for more information. I also have an email list at DelaneyFisher.com where I share my favorite tools, tips, treats, and free shit. And then we just want to say a big special thank you to our wonderful editor, Emma Erdbrink, and our fantastic associate producer, Humaira Nawaz.
And you can find everything that we all just mentioned at selfhelplesspodcast.com.